So, since today is Yom HaTzmaut, I figured we'll give a shiur that gets to combine a whole bunch of our favorite topics in the show and things that we've discussed in different contexts in the past. Namely, I wanted to talk about duchening in certain parts of Israel. Anyone that has visited northern Israel, and definition of north might be fast and loose for this conversation, but depending on where you are, while in general, in most areas in Israel, people duchen every single day. In certain areas, people do not. So the question is, where does this come from? I guess we can really ask the question going in either direction. Why duchen in some parts of Israel, not in the parts of Israel they do duchen? We're going to assume that that's the obvious option, and that the other one is the one that has to be justified. That is, why do people not duchen in Haifa? In at least one shul in Netanya, some minyanim in one shul in Netanya that I'm aware of, in Haifa and in Tzfat. So in those areas, what they do is they only duchen when you daven musaf. Obviously, the Sfaradim Edut HaMizrach always duchens. That's irrespective of Israel anywhere else. These other shuls in Israel, the Ashkenazi shuls, while typically as opposed to Chutz La'aretz, they all duchen. Unclear exactly where that started from. There's this one article that I saw. It's generally attributed to Talmidei HaGra. The Gra was a big proponent of duchening. He thought even in Chutz La'aretz, you should duchen every single day. Due to some weird stories, apparently that didn't end up happening. But his Talmidim, who made it Aliyah to Israel relatively early on in at least the history of Aliyah movements, they established this idea of duchening in Israel every single day. And again, they were primarily located in Yerushalayim, so their scope of influence may have been limited. What's also interesting is that they might have been limited, and then something happens in Tzfat. Apparently, there may or may not have been an old minhag not to duchen. And then there's all these places that are near Tzfat, in the Galil, Haifa, and maybe parts of Netanya, I guess, which they sort of did this like in between thing, which is, you know what, we're going to duchen only when you have to daven musaf. So it's quite fascinating. Why would Haifa be different than anywhere else? Now again, Tzfat, maybe you can argue that there's this really old minhag going all the way back to the Arizal or something like that. So maybe that's why they don't duchen. We could potentially justify that. But Haifa is a little bit more complicated, unclear why they only duchen by Musaf. Just for clarity's sake, I'm just going to say don't duchen. What I mean when I say don't duchen is that they only duchen when there's Musaf, not that they don't duchen at all.
Is that the case in Tzfat, or Tzfat is an actual, they don't duchen, they behave like Chutz La'aretz?
I think Tzfat does the Musaf thing also. Okay. Yeah, I think that, I'm pretty sure that's what Tzfat does. And also, again, so why this is particularly interesting to us is a Yom HaTzmaut. So we're talking about something that you get to do, Kohanim get to do in Israel, and might not necessarily have the opportunity to do elsewhere. And also, because as we know in our shul, one of our favorite cheer topics is something that involves Minhagim. We love talking about Minhagim. And just recently, over Pesach, although some of you, probably most of you, may have missed that particular cheer, but we were discussing specifics Minhagim of a certain city. Right? Does the Southern City able to establish some minhagim? We were analyzing Fleetwood in that context. But this gives us the opportunity to do it in terms of Haifa. Anyone who missed that shiur, it's now recorded and it's online as well. You can hear it later. So this whole idea of Haifa having a different status than anywhere else might, it's not really a Gemara, but we can at least pretend that it might be a Gemara, because I have a Gemara in Megillah that tells me, Amar Rav Asi, Haifani, someone from Haifa, lo yisad kapav. He should not duchen. So I have a Gemara that tells me that someone from Haifa is not allowed to duchen. And he also says they shouldn't be chazin, they shouldn't daven in front of the teva. And the Gemara tells me why. Mipnei shekorin le'alefin aynin vele'aynin alefin. In other words, they mix up aleph and ayin. The way they don't pronounce words correctly. This immediately, I get confused when I read they don't pronounce words correctly in a Gemara, because, you know, depending where you're from, who taught you how to read Hebrew, there are lots of people that read words very differently. If you go upstairs in our shul, we have people that are davening with the Saf, we have people that are davening be'ivrit, we have people that are davening an American version of Ivrit, and we have people that I assume are davening a Dut HaMizrach accent. probably four or five different ways of reading the same words. But apparently this particular chayfani is particularly egregious because they mix up these two letters. And Rashi tells me, why do I care that they mix up these two letters specifically? It seems to be that this was the issue. He says, "Im hayu osin bilkat kohanim, hayu omrim ya'el, ya'el." For lack of a better way of phrasing that. In other words, in Duchening, you say, Yav Hashem p'nav elecha v'chuneka, right? In other words, God should light up his face towards you. It's a lashon of bracha. It's a nice thing. But that's if you read it with an aleph. If you read it with an ayin, you make it a bad thing. Because now you're making it a lashon of klala, it's not a nice, it sounds like God should curse you when he looks at you or something like that. So in order to, since the whole point of Birkat Kohanim is to bless people, and since this, reading these words incorrectly is not really a blessing, it's a curse, then that would be an issue. And so we do not want a chayfani to read to duchen. Now I bring up this gemara because it's the earliest source you could possibly find of someone from Haifa not being allowed to duchen. Obviously, this gemara is not really relevant to what we're discussing because, as far as I'm aware, I spent a couple of years in Haifa, as many of you know, that anyone in Haifa pronounces words just like everybody from everywhere else. There is no difference between someone from Haifa or someone from somewhere else. But if we were going to at least have some sort of weak attempt of saying that there is some sort of mekom, then we have the gemara. It's interesting, the gemara, I didn't read it because it was in parentheses, but there's also a girsa here that someone from Beit She'an, right? In the first line, it's Beit She'ani, in the second line, the gemara right here, Beit She'an, he actually does quote it. Apparently, people from Beit She'an also would be included in this. As far as I'm aware, in Beit She'an, people do duchen every single day, but it's only a Haifa thing. But okay, fine. Let's at least pretend. So, before we try to figure out what's...
Is that still untrue? Is that still true in Haifa? Because that may be earlier, a little more often. They'll have to duchen every day.
They only duchen when you daven Musaf. So, Rosh Chodesh, they'll only duchen by Musaf. They will not daven by Shafers.
And also on Shabbos.
And Shabbos by Musaf. Only when you have a Musaf will they duchen.
And the baseline is you should do it at every Shemona Esrei?
The baseline, the rest of Israel, is every Shemona Esrei, yeah.
Not Mincha.
Not Mincha. Yes. Shacharis and Musaf, you should do it.
Every morning and twice on Shabbos, yeah?
Yeah.
And a shul where they do duchening, are they allowed to follow the duchening?
Is which one is this?
You said that they don't duchen.
Really? Right.
If he is in a shul where they duchen and they duchen, are they allowed to listen to the duchening or do they follow it or not?
So can I rephrase your question slightly? Let's say I'm a Kohen who was used to davening in a shul where they do only duchen by musaf. And now I'm in a shul where I'm in America. I went to a Sephardi shul, and they are duchening, right? Do I now, as an Ashkenazi who doesn't duchen in America, except for, Shoshet HaGalim and the other exceptions, do I now go and duchen, right? That's another way of phrasing that question. I mean, yeah, potentially, yeah, why not? I want to clarify something also, by the way, just the importance, the stakes of what we're talking about here. Duchening, as we've discussed this probably one of the times we've given a minhag shir, at least in passing, duchening is a mitzvah deraisa, right? It says in the Torah. The Torah says, kohanim have to duchen. It's a clear biblical mitzvah that you have to, that kohanim have to go ahead and duchen. The fact that we do not do it in America, or in chutz la'aretz in general, other than those exceptions, is weird. It's unclear why. There are a lot of weak attempts at trying to justify that practice. We're going to bring quote one of them right now. This is actually from the, let me just go down for a second. So this is from the Geshe L'Chaim. Geshe L'Chaim is a sefer on Avelus. And he, in the end of his sefer, he has a couple of shas and tshuvas about different things involving Avelut. And in the middle of this is an essay revolving around whether or not Kohen at a Beis Aval, do you duchen or do you not duchen? Nothing to do with being in America, just in general. Will you be, if you're in a place where otherwise you would duchen, do you duchen in a Beis Aval? In general, the minhag is that people don't. He says, well, hold on a second. I have precedent for not duchening, and that's in Chutz La'aretz. So why don't they duchen? Because the bracha says, you should bless the Jewish people with love. And mikan yesh mamnitzim al minhag she'en nesiat kepayim mechutz laaretz, because apparently we don't have feel love in America unless it's chagim. Shloshet regalim, yamim noraim also, I guess. There's more love in the air. And so we are now capable, with all of those warm, fuzzy feelings, we are now able to duchen. But without those feelings, we wouldn't be able to do it. And he says also, he says, you know, he just basically says, I don't understand what this has to do with anything else. Why should this mitzvah be different than any other mitzvah in the Torah? Like whatever, like, you know, who cares that there's this, why do you think that there's a special din by duchening specifically, that you should have to, have this ahava, this love, or whatever it is. And he says that, he even quotes that there is apparently in Yerushalayim, to the extent that he doesn't like this concept, don't do it in Chutz La'aretz, he also doesn't like the fact that in Eretz Yisrael, or in a place where you'd otherwise duchen, in a Beis HaAvel, there seems to be this minhag that people won't duchen unless they won't duchen there. And he says, I don't understand exactly where it comes from, and he knows of at least, he says there's at least one family in Yerushalayim where the Kohanim go up to duchen, even if it's Toch Shiva. There's no reason not to. There's a mitzvah that rises to the duchen. You came up with some weird excuse as to why you shouldn't be duchening. Doesn't make any sense. Mitzvah deraisa, you have to do it. Go ahead and duchen, even in a Beis HaAvel, everywhere you should be, ideally you should be duchening. So what I'm going to do for the rest of this year, and we'll see how much patience we have as we continue, as we go through these, but I basically just want to look at a whole bunch of tshuvot that were written in response specifically to Haifa, people in Haifa that were trying to figure out whether or not they can duchen, they shouldn't be duchening, and questions of that sort. I'll point out that this was a particular interest to me, because again, I was in Haifa, I'm a Kohen, and I know in America I've given up the fight where apparently we can't duchen, but I was in Haifa, I was in Israel, or a city that I was told was in Israel, and I wanted to duchen every day. And luckily for me, usually my biggest opponent were Cheji Ben Hagim in our minyan. It was a student minyan, but my power as rabbi wasn't as well established as it is in Fleetwood Synagogue. But the other people that may have opposed me were also Kohanim, and they also wanted a duchen. And so the question was, we as an Ashkenazi minyan in Haifa, can we duchen? And I mean, the answer is obviously yes. But let's analyze at least what other people have to say as well. So we'll start with the Shevet HaLevi. Shevet HaLevi, as Rav Vosner argues over here. He first entertains this concept that maybe there are three different types of Kohanim out there. Let's try, again, a lot of these Tshuvot are going to start off with this concept. What's happening in Chutz La'aretz? Like, what's going on outside of Israel that people aren't duchening? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa, you should be duchening. So he says, well, maybe I can entertain this possibility that there are three types of Kohanim. There's the Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz. Those people aren't really Kohanim. They're just faking it. They probably have fathers that married women that were divorced, and so they are a chalal. They don't have that status of kahuna. And so these people probably can't duchen at all because they're not really Kohanim. They don't count. So then I also have the Yoshvei Yerushalayim. The people that are in Yerushalayim, these people have been there, Me'adu, Netzach, Netzachim. They've always been there. Their families have never gotten thrown out. In Jerusalem, there was apparently never anyone that has ever tried to kill Jews. That never happened in Yerushalayim. And so, in Yerushalayim, those are real, genuine Kohanim. And those people we could trust, they can obviously duchen. So what I do about Haifa, or the Galil, or any one of those areas, that those guys, they're not really so sure. So they say, you know what, on Yantiv we'll do it, but the rest of the year, we're not 100% sure.
As far as the Kohanim, what is the effect? There's
no
duchening, you know, 4 or 5 times a year. Like,
no, 50 times a year. Every Shabbos they duchen.
What do you mean?
It's a chutzlar. They don't duchen all the time.
So there's different agdarot. There's a limit of how far we're going to tell these fake, these imposters to do this bracha levatala. Or whatever it is.
But why isn't it all or none? Meaning, if they are either you're yes
he
or
rejects
no.
This immediately. Again, you're the all these tshuvot, all these people here are struggling with the same thing. They're all trying to come up with some sort of justification for. for the fact that we don't eat peanut butter. I confused the minhag shir again. For the fact that we don't duchen in chutz la'aretz. It doesn't make any sense, right? If we're going to be duchen, if the duchening is a mitzvah de'oraisa, you have to duchen. Like, where in the world does this come from, this idea that you're not duchening? So, again, a potential weak attempt, but he's trying. And then
But when people like Aliyah, they gain yichus, apparently.
Yeah. Only people that have real yichus would make Aliyah.
So he rips this whole thing out of hand pretty quickly. Right?
Very quickly. Immediately, the next line, he's going to throw out this whole idea, and he says, this makes absolutely no sense. The people have been, I'm not going to read it that much more inside, I think, throughout the rest of this year. But he basically says, listen, there's people that are, there's clearly everyone's all mixed up. There's no clear or yichus or no yichus. This is obviously not a real argument. And he basically says, listen, I'm sort of stuck. But apparently, they say that they have this old minhag in Haifa. And, okay, I don't know, maybe they have this whole minhag in Haifa, and therefore maybe they could somehow justify it. And he just quotes a bunch of people that says, obviously, Kohanim nowadays, even when they duchen, even if they are going to argue, they don't have real yichus, it's a mitzvah deraisa for them to duchen. He quotes a whole bunch of sources to that effect. And he says, Harei baro milalush em bezeh mishum shinui minhag v'av shezeh nachon. He says, the person that's asking him the question here, apparently, one of his issues were that if you're going to duchen every single day, you're going to be mevazeh the mitzvah, right? Because how do you do the mitzvah properly? The way we do it in chutz la'aretz. For some odd reason, you start singing in the middle. There's a whole procession going up. Unclear exactly what's going on there. But that's the real, people that are clearly taking this mitzvah seriously. If you do it every single day, you're not taking your mitzvah seriously. And so it's going to be a problem. And therefore, it is better that you don't duchen every day. He says that's what the guy who's asking him the question says. He says back, I have no idea what you're talking about. Again, it's going back to the same fundamental point. We are talking about a mitzvah deraisa. It's a mitzvah deraisa to duchen. What's going on? Obviously, you have to duchen, and there's be no reason not to. And he says, however, he is willing, he puts in that caveat there, that people that are arguing that they're doing the minhag of their fathers, I'm not going to force them to change their minhag. It's a bit of a, listen, I'm not going to tell the Haifa people to change what they're doing, but if someone's going to ask me, it sounds like he would argue, maybe you should change what you're doing here. This doesn't seem to be appropriate. That's Ravasa's argument. There's another tshuva.
To say that, when you do it, you do it every day, it loses its meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true of davening in general. I mean, we're reading the same thing every day. It doesn't lose its meaning. How do you bring kavanah every day to the same Shemona Esrei that you're reading three times a day?
It's
not easy. I mean, yeah, you try, right. but a lot of times you boom, boom, and it's, you zip through the words and you watch it with one eye on the clock and running down to get the 7:23. I mean, that's.
So, but again,
in a way, it makes sense that when I just count, it's 13 times a year that we do it in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, and those 13 times a year, that's a special occasion. You feel it. That's a special occasion. I know. I feel that's a special occasion. It's not just a routine thing.
But again, just because you don't want to lose the significance of an event is not justification to get rid of a mitzvah deraisa, right? You have a mitzvah deraisa to duchen, it's very hard to make
up. We have a mitzvah deraisa that you blow the shofar on the first day of the seventh month, not the second day of the seventh month. And they came up with all kinds of nonsense why you can't do that. So when it comes out on Shabbos. So,
that's a slightly different argument, but again, not really relevant to our discussion.
It's a mitzvah deraisa. It's written in there, the first day of the seventh month. Even I can understand that.
Hold on. We're talking about completely different things, right? One has nothing to do with the other. One is a question of
they're both mitzvahs deraisa.
Again, the chachamim, the reason why. I don't want to get to that. Let's discuss this afterwards so we don't get totally off topic. But I'll respond to you afterwards.
When you daven every single day, the idea is not to have anything on, nothing else on your mind, and you're supposed to be thinking only of God. So if you're really doing that, you're doing it at that moment.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Anyways, part of the problem with all this conversation is that the people in Haifa, Kohanim in Haifa, and arguably Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz as well, are potentially concerned because they're being told basically to part of their argument as to why you have to change this, as to why you should have to duchen every single day, is because you're being mevatel mitzvah saseh. So a lot of these tshuvas, what they end up doing is they end up arguing that don't worry, you're not really being mevatel mitzvah saseh, you're just not doing a mitzvah saseh, which is potentially a fundamentally different point. In other words, it's one thing if I'm in a situation where I was supposed to do the mitzvah and I didn't do it, and there's another thing where I'm in a situation where the opportunity to do the mitzvah just didn't occur, because he's arguing that, or at least this tshuva over here is arguing that the only time you have a real mitzvah to go up to duchen is when the chazan gets up there and he says kohanim, and importantly, before he says kohanim, those same kohanim had already walked up from their seats. Why we go up before Ritzeh, and I've position themselves appropriately. He says, only if you're in that situation, and the chazan calls you up to duchen, only then do you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to actually duchen. But if the chazan never calls you to duchen, that is not enough of justification to say that you're being mevatel a mitzvah saseh. All you're doing there is you are, you're just not doing a mitzvah, but it's not a bittel mitzvah. He just wants to highlight that point. So the stakes maybe in Haifa or in Chutz La'aretz are not that you're being mevatel a mitzvah, which is what it sounded like up until now, but that you're potentially just not doing a mitzvah. A little bit better. Still, you're not doing a mitzvah d'oraisa, but maybe you can justify yourself at least a little bit. And he also importantly points out that I forgot what I was going to say. Let's move on. And he says, this tshuva over here. I'm just going to keep scrolling through. And he, by the way, he finishes off his tshuva after giving that justification of, you know, I have some excuses, you're not really being mevatel mitzvah saseh. He says, "Mikol makom, kiven shekolam noagim minhag hara hazeh, im kein ein kan makom rinun shel pagam." He says, it's a minhag ra. He says, it's a terrible minhag that these people have. But, listen, everybody does it, so we're like, what are we going to do? We're going to change this thing. But again, the argument is, the feeling is among many of these tshuvas is that it's a minhag ra. Now, I just want to point out the Hilchas Agra, Uminhagav, right? It's written by his Talmidim. If you don't know, if you're not familiar, if you're familiar with any of the Gra's positions, then you could probably anticipate what this particular tshuva is going to argue that you should do. But he says, maybe the reason why, first he talks about why people in Chutz La'aretz aren't doing it. He says maybe they're busy, they're running through the train, so they can't have the time to concentrate. So maybe on Chag, they're not so busy, they could spend the time to maybe listen and enjoy and be able to hear the actual Birchas Kehuna. He says also maybe because part of the reason the difference is between being in Israel, where people apparently also go to work, versus being in America, is in Israel the Shekhinah is there. So because the Shekhinah is real, you can feel it, so people are more attuned and are able to pay attention. Yes? Any comment that comes after that sentence is just not going to go over well. Yeah.
They're busy, so they kind of skip it. They're busy, so they didn't skip Zugin and Zimra, which we have to have provision for skipping, but they skipped the Mitzvah D'Oraisa at the end.
Mitzvah D'Oraisa involves a lot more concentration, a lot more preparation.
It's like 5 times longer, 20 times longer. You can prepare.
In Israel, they're not busy, though.
In Israel, they're not as busy. No, in Israel, the Shekhinah, anytime you have a mitzvah, you know how to prioritize. So you realize the Mitzvah D'Oraisa, so you're able to, you know, focus appropriately and not just rush through it, and you're able to concentrate or something like that. He says, so then he argues that maybe in Galil and Tzfat, these people happen to be a little bit busier, so maybe they don't know. And he says, honestly, I have no idea where this came from. I don't know where this minhag is from. He says, even their argument that this is all the way back from the Arizal, he says it's not true. and the Arizal, they did used to duchen every single day. I'm not sure of any historian that has actually studied this. So I don't know what the academic literature would be, or care to study this. I'm not sure what the academic literature would be about, you know, who duchened what and when. But he argues, neged these people that say this is the minhag from the Arizal, that it's not true. The Arizal himself also duchened every single day. And he says, v'lefi zeh b'cheifa en la'akel klal. There's no reason at all to be makel, and anyone that is not duchening is doing the wrong thing, and they should be changing what they're doing. And it's just wrong. Scrolling down. So then we get to the Minchas Yitzhak. Dain Weiss, he's probably the only tshuva that I have found that not only justifies this concept of what happens in... Well, he doesn't really justify, he just says that they do it. But he argues, he's the only one, who seems to be like a proponent of not really changing it. And it's that it's even going even as far that it's usher to change it. He's actually the tshuva that this shul in Netanya, that only some minyanim duchen, which is the minyan that the Rav of that shul strongly believes in, that they shouldn't be duchening. I'm not sure he's aware that there's another minyan that they do duchen. It's what my grandfather does in his minyan, or allows in his minyan. He quotes Stein Weiss's tshuva, and he says that the reason is because he says the original minhag, what we've always done in Galus for however long, is that we did not duchen. For whatever reason, I don't know the reason. He says, but this is the minhag. The minhag is you do not duchen. And so the question is not on Haifa. The question actually is slightly on Haifa, because why are they duchening by Musaf? They should only be duchening by Chag. But the real question is on the rest of Eretz Yisrael. What you should be doing is what you do in the Gola. He says you shouldn't be duchening at all. Nobody should be duchening only on Chagim, only on those rare times.
We counted 13?
13 times that we duchen in Chutz La'aretz. Those are the only times you're allowed to duchen, because that was the minhag. And it's usher to change it. And the question is on everybody else. It's a pella on Talmidei Agra and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. How were they able to change this minhag? And he says, "Mikol makom samacha minhag avotem ve'lo ratzu levatlam." Okay, fine. Maybe there's some sort of minhag avotem at one point. Maybe they can have some sort of justification. But bottom line is, he is the primary tshuva that would support this concept, as strongly support this idea of not being able to, of Haifa not changing its minhag, and potentially even arguing against this idea of that Haifa was, that Haifa's limited duchening may have also been too much. Next tshuva is also for Rabbi Eliashiv. This diagnosis tshuva is long. One second. Here. Rabbi Eliashiv argues, he says, listen, he sort of is willing to accept the fact that if there is a real minhag, then you should be following that minhag. He says, but it needs you need to explain to me where exactly this minhag came from. I'm not exactly sure where Haifa came up with this idea and why they think that they have a serious minhag here. I'll point out that Rabbi Eliashiv's tshuva is fundamentally opposed to Dain Weiss's tshuva. Because again, everybody knows that in Chutz La'aretz nobody's duchening, and that was older. Clearly, when Rabbi Eliashiv is writing his response, he says, I don't know what the deal was in Haifa, but he didn't say, what everyone else is doing in Israel is clearly wrong, because I know that in Chutz La'aretz nobody does this. So clearly, Dain Weiss is, again, I mean, the only person that really argues that in Haifa you definitely cannot actually change that minhag. The last thing I'll just show you here is that there's a response, article written in Tchumin from Rav Shel Yishuv Cohen. He was the chief rabbi of Haifa until he died. He was a very important man. Kashrus in Haifa, at least at the time, was actually quite good. The Rabbanut in Haifa was really, really good. It was under his leadership. A lot of the shuls are all dedicated in his memory. But he basically wrote, he's the Rav of Haifa, so he's dealing with this actively. And he writes this whole article trying to figure out what exactly is this justification in Haifa to not be duchening every single day. And in the middle of this, he says, he's trying to address basically Dain Weiss's two points. Right. One point is what's going on in Chutz La'aretz. So that was the first part of his article. And the other one is, listen, there's a minhag, right? And now that there's a minhag, is that what you have to do? Are you allowed to change this minhag? And he basically says, "Lanu ki yesh tavchin ben minhag al pi das gdolim, kmo shekasa bala meiru, bema she'eino klal begedel minhag, shelo yadua mi hitchil la'asot ken, ubefrat shoshone mi minhag ha'medina kula." He says, when you tell me that your city has a minhag, your shul has a minhag, there's two different types of minhagim. There's a minhag of ignorance, and there's a minhag midas. He says, the minhag of ignorance is irrelevant. I couldn't care less. You, and he's addressing the people in his city, he says, we all have a minhag that's just incorrect. I don't know where this came from. Nobody knows where this came from. And it's clearly wrong. Ideally, we should be duchening every single day. And for whatever reason, you're not duchening. Chutzaretz, leave me alone. In Eretz Yisrael, we clearly are duchening. So this minhag is wrong. And we should be changing it. And don't tell me that it's minhag makom that is done incorrectly is irrelevant. I couldn't care less. And so he ends off. He ends off over here with a. Sorry, it's all the way at the end of his tshuva because we're going to skip this other part. He says, "Lechana malti," right? Lechana malti. Etachai nochi mevakesh. He uses biblical language to get his point across. Harabanim hayoshvim al medin. This is just a kodesh, something like that. Haifa la'akav v'la'amod nafsham. He says, all the rabbanim of Haifa, listen to me. Here's what we should be doing. La'atkin takana. There should be a takana made. Lechazek yedei yosei mitzvah. To support the people that are doing a mitzvah. La'alot educhan b'chol yom b'shacharit. That everyone in Shacharis should be going up to Duchen. U'b'yechud b'shevat, including Shabbos, b'shacharit, u'musaf, both. U'lanhig minhag adat ha'rabanim v'roshei ha'kahal. She'b'chol ki'ilah nesader makom miyuchad entilat yadayim. Every single shul should have a place set up for the Kohanim to wash their hands. They should set up a nice place in front of the Aron so that the Kohanim could all go up and duchen in a respectful way. And to let everybody know publicly it says it's going to be a bracha to Klal Yisrael. We are going to make sure that our entire city does the thing that's proper and rejects this old minhag. I will say I lived in Haifa after he did, and it did not work. But there are random shuls that you will find that they do duch and shacharis and musaf. I can tell you that the rabbi of the hospital, who was a ger chassid, very nice guy, he told me, I asked him if I can duchen by shacharis. And he said, well, do you know of any other shul in Haifa that does? I said, yeah, a student minion does. And I saw at least one other one that I was told also did. So I said, yes. So he said, oh, in that case, I'm not saying you're allowed to, but if you get up here, I'm not going to stop you. I said, perfect. And so there was duchening every single day in the hospital, at least when I was there. But basically, I just wanted to, lechavad Yom HaTzma'ut, there's a lot, obviously, to talk about in regards of the Cheshivut of Eretz Yisrael, but one thing that's clear is that there are definitely certain mitzvahs that you can only do in Eretz Yisrael, mitzvot tatluyot ba'aretz, among other things. Duchening is not a mitzvah tliya ba'aretz, but for some reason it's a mitzvah that Ashkenazim can, for whatever reason, only do on a regular basis in Eretz Yisrael. And as such, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's something that's quite important, and we should all appreciate the fact that we, you know, have the land that, among all the very, very many things, that how it benefits the Jewish people, it also gives the opportunity for Ashkenazim to do a mitzvah d'oraisa every single day, and cities that don't should potentially also change that minhag. But you know, what do I know? Thank you for listening.